Breakfast Beat on 91.3 FM. Your voice in the morning.
8 minutes after 7 a.m. this morning, and we move along now to our next feature. Now, on Friday, a video went viral, basically showing Elsie's River anti-crime activist and bread distributor Imran Mukaddam and fellow activist Sharman Kribi being arrested under very suspicious circumstances. Now, the entire saga was filmed on camera by Sharman, but things didn't go down well as the angry police officer at the scene physically removed her phone and then went on to slap her. But to take us through what exactly happened and what went down and the reasons behind the arrest, joining us online this morning is Steve Ross, the founder of Inspire Network, which is an organization that both Imran and Sharman work for. Steve, good morning and thank you for joining us.
Good morning to you and good morning to your listeners.
So, of course, firstly, you know, when were you alerted to, you know, the arrest of Imran and Sharman? And, you know, what was your reaction? And, of course, the reason behind the arrest?
Okay, let me unpack for you. I was also invited to join Sharman and Mr. Mukaddam to attend a meeting at our local police station in Elsie's River regarding the planning of the searching for Tasnay van Wyk, a little girl of 8 years old that's missing in our community. With that said, I couldn't pick up Mr. Mukaddam, and Sharman then did that for me. And that's why she was at his premises at the time the incident happened. Okay, I was called by Sharman in great distress, and she said, Steve, something bad is happening here. Please, can you come immediately? And unfortunately, I was quite a distance away. And I could then call our local police station and say, please go intervene. They were actually waiting for them in the boardroom, and then they were actually quite amazed or shocked that this is not happening. So they sent their own local police out there. So me and Sharman were on the line while it was happening. And so that's why I got involved.
All right. So, of course, what had led to the arrest of Imran? You know, like you mentioned, they were to attend a meeting together with SAPS. But then on the other side, SAPS is busy arresting Imran.
Yeah, that is a different department of SAPS that came. I believe it's the Flying Squad or some other division. And that's why the local police had no information about this race that's going to be happening. The accusations varied at the time. I understood it from Imran himself that the accusation was possession of stolen property or something. In that regard, I am not very clear on the issues. That matter was handled in a very personal capacity to him and his lawyers. I respected that, and I'll be supporting them at the court today.
Okay. Just in terms of Imran, you know, what is the process going forward? We understand he will be making a court appearance. You know, was he held behind bars over the weekend?
No. The video actually caused quite a stir at the time. It went viral immediately. And we had advocates and we had community support and even media supporters calling in and flooding the police station and the community. And I think that put a lot of pressure on the system, which then allowed both of them to be released only on a warning to appear in court this morning.
Okay. And just, you know, the way in which Sharman was handled, of course, you know, she was capturing the entire scenario on video. And of course, you know, the police officer in question was pretty physical with her, pretty rude at the same time. You know, how has that been addressed?
That's actually the saddest part of this whole story for us. Sharman actually, at the instruction of Mr. Mukaddam, which is our media liaison officer for the Inspire Network, at the time when she was there, he asked that please record this because apparently they came there with no warrant and they were quite physical with him in her presence. And he then asked to please record what's happening. He then also asked her to please ask the guy for his identification. So Imran is quite clued up in this type of things. And he was basically telling her, please get these details because this doesn't seem right. Okay? With that said, Sharman, the assault on Sharman would have ended at that where you saw on the video. But because it went viral, myself and many other people said, don't leave it like that. Go to the police station, lay a charge against this guy.
Yes.
He didn't give his name up until that point as well. He didn't want to give his name. When she arrived at the station, she was actually giving the statement when this person saw her there. And he then said to her, while she's making the statement in front of the local cops, that now he's going to get her and arrest her. And she was totally traumatized. So the logic there for us was she wasn't asked to come to the police station. She did it out of her own free will, obviously, with the encouragement of the community.
Mm.
And then to be arrested right there and then, and then taken to the cells, that for us was the illogical part of the whole system.
Where
the victim now becomes, you know.
Mm. Where was the station commander in all of this?
Like a criminal.
Yeah, so where was the station commander during, you know, this whole altercation?
We had meetings with them while they were all in custody. We were in the boardroom with the station commander, the same people we were supposed to have had a meeting before this whole thing
happened. How did they react to the situation?
They explained to us something which, as I said, we still have to find out how it actually works. Apparently, when the flying squad arrests people, they are allowed to come and use the local station to do their processing. And the local police, from the commander, brigadier, all the way down, cannot intervene at all. No matter how this thing is rolling out, they can only intervene once this department, which is the flying squad, hands that case over to the local police. So they couldn't even give the emotional support and say, but we also think it's wrong, because obviously they're all police, so they have to work within that framework of being a policeman at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you could sense that they also very distressed. They were very upset. They know us very well. We work very well with the police. We're in constant contact with them. So I'm not sure how that process works, and I would like, after this court case, maybe to find out more so that we can educate our people, you know. When flying squad comes to your door, rather not ask questions, rather just bow down and behave, because local police will not support you.
Just in terms of Sharman and her filing of her case, did she manage to successfully file it, or is that still up in the air?
You're talking about the case against the cop?
Against the police officer, yes.
Yeah, no, that case is continuing. It's a separate case that goes directly to IPED.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it will be on the court roll this morning. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure on that process as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a case that has gone directly to IPED. The provincial part of the government, of the policing, has also been in contact and been contacted. So I think everybody got shaken what happened on Friday. And so hopefully, as I said, for us, as Inspire Network, we had our meetings the weekend, chatted with each other, went to go visit each other, and we don't feel personally aggrieved with the concept itself. We are aggrieved on the system, the understanding of the system, the explanations that happened on Friday. The retracting of the police to support somebody that's in total distress, being basically harassed by another police person. So we were like very boggled, and I think after this court case, that's exactly where we're going to find ourselves. What is actually, how does everything work together,
yes,
and how does it come together?
Sure.
So we can educate our people.
Sure. Steve, just on a final note, you know, what time, which court and what time will they be appearing this morning?
They're appearing in the Goodwood Magistrates Court this morning at 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
So we are planning to be there at 8 o'clock now, just to show our support as they come in. There are some members of the community that said they would like to do a picket, and we said that's legally allowed.
Are proceedings open to the media?
Excuse me?
Are proceedings open to the media?
Yes, I believe so. I spoke to our attorney, and he said the media is allowed to be inside as well.
All right. Any final comment from yourself this morning, Steve?
I would firstly want to say thank you very much for your radio station and many other radio stations that has been in contact with us and given us the support and this platform to express our views and bring this case to light. And also the community of Elsie's River, and quite a long away from Elsie's River, people were calling in droves. So it's just a matter of saying thank you very much for your support in this time.
All right. Well, Steve Russ, thank you for joining us this morning and providing some background. We do appreciate your time, and all of the best for this morning. And that was Steve Ross of Inspire Network speaking to us, the organization that both Imran Mukaddam as well as Sharman Gribi work for.